I'm very happy to welcome you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ to our worship service, and it would be my hope and prayer that the good Spirit will be here with each one of us and that he will meet you in whatever your place of need is at this time in your life. And thank you for the effort to be here. It's always good to be here in his house. And thank you, Sister Sherilyn, for that ministry of music. Brother Nathan is not here. Sister Denise had some health issues that had to be taken care of, so Brother Nathan was not able to join us. And thank you for being willing to share your talents and stepping in at literally the very last minute to offer that ministry today. I would like to share from the 96th Psalm for a call to worship. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. We'll continue now with singing of hymn number 25. And then Brother Joe will offer a prayer of invocation for us today.
Oh, Heavenly Father, please bless this service. Please open our hearts and open our minds to hear your words, Lord. I ask a blessing over my priesthood members, and that you would be with my brother, Justin, as he stands and speaks your words, Lord, that you want your saints to hear. Lord, we are thankful that you allow us to come here of free will in this building, your church, to worship and praise you, Heavenly Father. Help us to raise up and testify and praise you and your Son. Please be with this service, Lord. Be with us as we go. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Would you bow with us now as we would offer a prayer for our offerings today? Our Father in heaven, we come to that portion of our worship where we have the opportunity to return unto you but a small portion of that which you have blessed us with. I pray that you might truly bless these offerings, Father, that they might be for the work of your kingdom, that they might bless those who are in need and build up the work of your church in these days. We ask a blessing upon each one who gives, Father, and the gifts that are unseen of our time and talents, that those may be blessed and consecrated as well. And this blessing we ask in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, won't you please consider these words? O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? Wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite. O Lord, wilt thou not shut the gates of thy righteousness before me, that I may walk in the path of a low valley, that I may be strict in the plain road? O Lord, wilt thou encircle me around in thy robe of thy righteousness? O Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies? Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way, but that thou wouldst clear my way before me and hedge not up my way, but the ways of mine enemy? O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever, May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his record. Safely forever. The last two words from that song. Safely forever. I want to thank Brother Mark and Sister Sherilyn for their ministry of music this day. And for that fact, from the very beginning when we came here and the choir was practicing, and even though I wasn't in the room with them, we were able to hear their voices. And even though they were practicing and they might not have felt like they were doing very good, it was a blessing to hear that. And then as we progressed on to into our morning devotion, what our brother and his family brought was so fitting and actually ties in with what the scripture I had. And you see how God has prepared the way this day. Excuse me. And into our class and the discussion we had there. And when we read the scriptures, you can't help but feel His Spirit. And so the scripture that our pastor had selected for this week is one that I've held pretty dear to my heart. And so we will discuss this chapter this day. And this is found in the second book of Nephi, chapter 3. And as you recall, this is the chapter that notifies or lets us know that Lehi passed away. Lehi had been traveling in the wilderness, and they had come over to this continent. And as his life drew to an end, to a close, he called his family to him to bless them. And he began with Joseph and Jacob, the ones that were born in the wilderness. And then he proceeded to bless Laman and Lemuel and their families, and Ishmael and his household, and then Sam. And we understand that through his speech to Sam, that it sounds like Nephi and Sam received probably what we would have thought would have sounded like the more precious blessing. Because Laman and Lemuel were told that in the end, they would not perish. And so this transpired, Lehi passed away, and the scripture tells us that not many days after that, Laman and Lemuel started rising up against Nephi and his people once again, speaking, and they were bothered. And so here we have Nephi. Let's try to put ourselves in his shoes. Here's a man that had led his family through the wilderness, and at times may have been the one who led them even above Lehi as far as having the faith and the conviction that what they were doing was right. And as they proceeded along, he endured many things, didn't he? His brothers rose up against him, and they tried to kill him. They tied him up. They left him. They wanted to end his life because they were jealous. And so Nephi dealt with this, and it had come to a point, and they would go to Nephi and ask him questions, and they were upset. They were upset because of what Lehi's father had told them, and perhaps, probably so, what Nephi had said to them. And so here's Nephi, this man, trying to keep the course, to keep the direction that his family had set before them by the Lord. And so here he is. He's talking about how he's writing on the plates, and we're going to start in verse 29. And he says, "For my soul delighteth in the scriptures, and my heart pondereth them, and writeth them for the learning and the profit of my children. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard." And I want us to stop and think, and I want us to put ourselves in Nephi's shoes, if you will, because I would venture a guess that every one of us here, every one of us who can hear my voice, has been or has felt something of what this man has felt. You felt down, you felt beaten down, you felt like maybe there was no hope. And here we have this testimony of Nephi and how even though he feels these things upon him, he rises up and he gathers his strength from the Lord. And I would ask you, don't you find yourself, when you're in these moments of in the depths of sorrow maybe, or when you're down, life isn't treating you right, do you sense, do you feel the Lord calling to you, beckoning to you? Do you feel testimonies? Do you hear testimonies? Do you recall testimonies? Not just your own, but the ones you've heard from those who have gone on before. We gathered here last Wednesday for a prayer service. And as is the custom every Wednesday. And we have an opportunity to hear testimonies. And these testimonies that are given to us are not for us alone. The testimonies that the Lord has given to you are not for you alone. It's for you to share with all the others around you, to those you meet in life, because the Lord will bring those back to their minds and to their hearts. And how many of us can raise our hand and say yes to the times when we have felt one of those testimonies strengthen us in our times of need. Nevertheless, the great goodness of the Lord in showing me His great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. Here's Nephi, seen angels, prophesied, he's seen great things. And yet this man is wretched? I know that I am probably not alone when I've compared myself to him and thought, well, how bad did he have it? You know, here's this man, he's apparently a spiritual giant. We have many of his writings here. And yet, when he's seen the great and marvelous things the Lord has done for him and his family and beheld in the world and the visions that the Lord shown him, yet he cries out because he knows his sin is real. He is no different than us in that his sin is real and that he understands that he must overcome. And we feel, and as we make our way through the scripture, we sense that Nephi is, we see a glimpse of his relationship with the Lord, don't we? And how he deals with the Lord and the interaction and just how the Lord deals with him. He says in 32, my soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations of the sin which doth so easily beset me. You know, don't we find ourselves on a knife edge? You know, this repentance, this humility, this feeling of humility that brings us to repentance. Don't we find ourselves on a knife edge with that? Because we stand and we are ready to repent, to turn away from ourselves and our sin and to turn to the Lord. But yet, how many times do we find ourselves falling off on the other side and we fall into that pit where we whip ourselves and we punish ourselves and we never feel like we're worthy to crawl back out? We have to address these things, and we have to understand that Satan wants us to fall into those depths of humility too, but he wants to try and capitalize on that. He wants to try and get us to feel like we're not worth it. Okay? And grieveth. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. Now, I looked this up in Webster's 1828 dictionary, and when we think about this scripture, I also think about the scripture that talks about grieving the Spirit and how we can offend the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Ghost, in which sin we turn away and there is no forgiveness. So here is what Webster of 1828 has to say. To grieve, to give pain of mind to afflict, to wound the feelings, to inflict pain on, to make sorrowful, to excite regret in, to offend, to displease, to provoke, to feel pain of mind or heart, to be in pain on account of an evil, to sorrow, to mourn. And so we see that this grieving, we grieve in our souls. And this is a good thing. The Lord has given us these feelings. And as hard as they are sometimes to deal with, He's given us these feelings to excite a reaction and a response in us. 34, and when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Okay, here we are. Have you felt yourself trying to crawl out? You know, here you are. You feel horrible. You feel miserable. But maybe you feel like you haven't received your just recompense yet. And so you keep dishing it out, thinking you're unworthy. He says, when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth. Nevertheless, what does it say next? I know in whom I have trusted. Here comes the testimony of Nephi. Here comes his response to the Lord and all the times in his life in which he has interaction with the Lord and he knows that salvation is there and salvation is his. That comes back. That fountain of life comes back in him. And that is what he is speaking from when he says, I know in whom I have trusted. He knows. He has the confidence. He's sure. But we have to get past. We have to get back to where we're on that path. We have to let up on ourselves. Not that we return to our sin, not that we okay it, not that we justify our sin, but that when we come back, we are stronger. I know in whom I have trusted. Why do you trust in God? Answer that in your minds. Why do you trust in God? Is it because you believe what He says? Okay, why do you believe what He says? Have you felt something? Have you felt something in your heart, in your bosom? Have you felt the reason to sing that song of everlasting joy? I want you to answer that. We need to answer that question. Why do we trust in Him? And we need to stand on that promise which He's given to us. See, God never changes, brothers and sisters. That foundation is what you were built on. And that foundation is what does not give way when the tempests of this life come and try to claim you. Okay? My God hath been my support. Here we go. Here comes His testimony. Here comes His reflection and His response to this not being able to find that joy in rejoicing. He hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness. And He hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. These are trials. These are the trials of life. Nephi's talking about these trials of life. And if God can support ships on the ocean, the Jaredites, the Nephites, if He can support these people upon the ocean, can't He support you in your trial? Can't He support me in my trial? He hath filled me with His love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. I would like for us to turn over to Messiah 2. And this is King Benjamin. And he has just given his proclamation. And the people in the tents that are listening to him, they cry out with one voice and they say, "Oh, have mercy and apply the atoning blood of Christ that we may receive forgiveness of our sins and our hearts may be purified." There's their repentance. "For we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created heaven and earth and all things, who shall come down among the children of men." And it came to pass after they had spoken these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them and they were filled with joy. There's the confidence in their forgiveness. Have you felt that? I would venture a guess that you have. Okay? And he talks to them about the atonement. And if we drop down to verse 12, "And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby men can be saved except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God, believe that He is, and that He created all things both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend." You know, in this world around us, science is coming to a point. We're trying to have an answer for everything. We try to explain everything. Brother Ed and I were talking about this morning, that when we are so used to functioning in a world, we are used to seeing beginnings and ends. We see things, lives come, start and end. Okay? This pulpit that I stand at, it will have an end someday. It had a beginning. It has an end. We are used to dealing in beginnings and ends. But for us to comprehend God and that He was, and He always has been, and He just is. He didn't come from anywhere. He's not going anywhere. That's a very high and lofty thought when you think about it. But it's something we just take. We just believe it now, right? So we see the world around us trying, and He's telling us, believe that you won't ever understand everything there is. Believe it. But believe that He is. And that He created all things. That's enough. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And that now, if ye believe all these things, see that ye do them. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love and received a remission of your sins, which causeth such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that ye should remember and always retain in your remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures. Humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come. Okay, we already have a knowledge and an understanding that Christ came. But what faith do we need to have now? What's coming that we believe in? That's Zion. That's the second coming of our Lord and Savior. Okay? And behold, I say unto you that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice, and listen to this, and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins, and you shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of him which is just and true. Okay? Knowledge. As I was preparing for this, I realized that I'm even guilty of this too. Do we withdraw ourselves from the idea that we have a knowledge? Are we concerned? We're like, well, we have faith. Brothers and sisters, we have a knowledge. And we need to claim that knowledge. Now, is our knowledge perfect? No. And we still have to have faith. But you cannot sit here and tell me that you don't have a knowledge of God. That you do not have a knowledge of Jesus Christ in your life or in the lives of those around you. Testimony upon testimony, scripture upon scripture. We have a knowledge and we have to hold on to that, okay? So let's not discount the fact that we have knowledge. But let us continue to grow in our faith. Back to the point, he says that if you can do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and retain remission of your sins and grow in that knowledge. And so here we are talking about the love of God, the love which God has given him, his love. It consumes Nephi's being. Okay? 37, he hath confounded mine enemies unto the causing them to quake before me. I'd like to share a testimony with you. This happened to Tiffany in probably eight years ago, roughly. And so important for us to pray for the whole armor of God. Okay? We've spoken about this before. I don't believe it's just a good vacation church school theme. This is pertinent and important to all of us. And Tiffany and Jenna had gone to the store, and they went into the store, and as Tiffany was walking down a certain aisle, the Lord impressed upon her that she needed to pray for the whole armor of God. And so she did. She prayed for her and Jenna to have the whole armor of God, and she said that as she rounded a corner and started heading towards a refrigerated case, that she noticed a man walking right towards her, and he was looking right at her, and he kind of had his head down and his eyes up, and she said it seemed kind of odd. And right as soon as the guy got close to them, it's like something pushed him out of the way, and he was pushed up against the case in which, and his feet like hit that little kick plate and everything. And she said that as she walked by him, she heard a growl. Brothers and sisters, this is real. This battle is real. And we have to remember that there are spirits out there upon the face of the earth that their whole intent and their whole desire is to destroy us, to destroy your faith, and to lead you astray. And so, yes, he can confound our enemies to causing them to quake before us. Here was somebody that was taller and larger than Tiffany. And yet he had to respond. And for whatever reason, we don't know the whole story behind it, but this is what Tiffany observed, and obviously it was a testimony. This is real, brothers and sisters. Okay, behold, he hath heard me cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge by visions in the nighttime, and by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice have I sent up on high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. How many of us in this room have seen angels? How many of us have had visions? How many of us have had experiences in life? I hope that there are those in here that have. And we need those experiences. We need to hear them. And upon the wings of His Spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains. And mine eyes have beheld great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore I was bidden that I should not write them. And then here he's going to start asking himself why. Oh then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in His condescension unto the children of men hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep, and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh waste away, and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? Let's turn to Alma 19. I have a short scripture in Alma 19. And we know this is Alma to his son Corianton. And Corianton had some troubles in life. And Alma was trying to instruct him and get him back on the straight path. And do you recall in the end of the chapter, do you recall what he told to Corianton? Verse 112. And now, my son, I desire that ye should let these things trouble you no more, only let your sins trouble you with that trouble which shall bring you down to repentance. So here's a very clear and concise, okay, this is what you allow this to do in your life and no more. Okay? You don't let it beat you up forever. You don't let your troubles and those things which you've done, you only let them bring you down to repentance and that's it. But don't let them trouble you anymore after that. You move on. Oh, my son, I desire that you should deny the justice of God no more. Do not endeavor to excuse yourself in the least point because of your sins by denying the justice of God. But do let the justice of God and His mercy and His long-suffering have full sway in your heart. But let it bring you down to the dust of humility. So don't let your sins afflict you beyond the humility that it needs to bring you to repentance. And why should I yield to sin? Because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptations that the evil one hath placed in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? In Isaiah 50, 1 and 2, we're told God is talking about Israel. We know this. But what does He say? He says, you sell yourselves into bondage. Brothers and sisters, we sell ourselves into bondage. We are responsible. And we must take responsibility. Why am I angry? Because of mine enemy. Notice how he says enemy. One enemy. Okay? In this scripture, you're going to see that there's enemy and an enemies. Here's the enemy. Why am I angry because of my enemy? Why am I angry because of the adversary? Why am I angry because of Lucifer and Satan? Apparently, am I supposed to not be angry with them? Him? I do it to myself from what I read. Okay. Awake my soul, no longer droop in sin. I love this scripture. Don't you just feel him taking courage, and he's encouraging himself, and we should be encouraged because here is a man who has given us his writing so we would have this. So when you are in your darkest days, when we are in our darkest days, and when we are struggling, and our sister in class brought up and how we need to endure. It was a wonderful class, how we need to endure and how we shouldn't be contending with other denominations. Okay? Contending takes up energy. And we are to contend against only one church, and that's the church of Satan. Okay? We are to save our strength. And as our brother pointed out, just because we don't agree doesn't mean we're contending. Okay? So we need to have that straight as well. We aren't always going to agree, but we need to work it out. We need to work it out. We need each other. I'm starting to feel like a broken record because I feel like I said this before. We depend on each other. We need each other. And we have to learn to reason together. Okay? We cannot be... We have to take courage. We have to endure. We have to be ready for this battle. But it takes all of us. I'm sitting here thinking as we were in class and I was listening to the comments and the devotion, how wonderful it is. Excuse me. How wonderful it is to come and to hear the voices of the saints and how uplifting it is. Think in your mind, hasn't there been a time when you've been sitting here or you've been around the saints and you've heard something and it's encouraged you? Does the rest of the world have that? They might have family, they might have friends, they might have their organizations, you know, their groups that they get together with, their fraternities. But we have something special. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's the blood of our Savior that has brought us all together. You know, blood is thicker than water, and the blood of Christ, and there is no blood thicker than Christ's blood. No blood thicker than His. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Let's make a declaration today. Give no more place. Give a place no more for the enemy of our soul. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord and say, O Lord, I will praise Thee forever and ever. I will praise Thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in Thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. O Lord, wilt Thou redeem my soul? Wilt Thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? Wilt Thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite. Contrite is to break or bruise, to rub or wear, worn or bruised, deeply affected with grief and sorrow for having offended God. Humble, penitent. So I'm going to read this one again. Deeply affected with grief and sorrow for having offended God. That's contrite. O Lord, wilt Thou not shut the gates of Thy righteousness before me, that I may walk in the path of the low valley, that I may be stripped in the plain road? O Lord, wilt Thou encircle me around in the robe of Thy righteousness? O Lord, wilt Thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies? Wilt Thou make my path straight before me? Wilt Thou not place a stumbling block in my way, but that Thou wouldst clear my way before me and hedge not up my way, but the ways of mine enemy. Singular. Mine, hedge up the ways of mine enemy. O Lord, I have trusted in Thee and I will trust in Thee forever. I will not put trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. I want to thank Mike for the scripture reference. I wasn't planning on reading this, but I thought this is good. 2 Chronicles 32. Seven and eight. Mike and his family shared this in their morning devotion, talking about the arm of flesh, and talked about Hezekiah the king and how he was threatened by the king of Assyria. And I can't pronounce the name as good as Mike, so I'm not even going to try it, but he's the king of Assyria. And these threatenings were breathed out against Israel, and they were concerned. And here is what... Here is what was said in verse 7. Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed, for the king of Assyria, not for all the multitude that is with him, for there is more with us than with him. And it seems like probably every battle that we read about, Israel was outnumbered in their wars. The people of God were outnumbered. But here he's telling them there's more with us than with them. Now, do you believe that when you walk the streets and you go to your various places of vocation each and every day or wherever you find yourself, do you feel like you're in the majority? Do you feel like you are surrounded? Do you feel like there's more with you than with them? We need to remember this as well, that there's vast hosts of heaven that are just waiting. And they look down and they stand for us, they pray for us, they hope for us, they have faith in us, and they want so badly to come down and to support us. And so when he says there is more with us than with him, we are going to see this in our lives, brothers and sisters. We are going to be outnumbered, or so it appears. But we need to remember that what we cannot see is the multitude that God has standing with us. And with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And so it is that we need to remember that this gospel which we have belongs to the great God, the great I Am, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we need to remember that he is who we stand for. And we want to find ourselves on the right side of that line. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss. Therefore, I lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to ask. Ask God to give you everything that you have need of, from your strength, from your physical strength each and every day, to your mental strength, to your spiritual strength, to overcome, and to share with others, with those around you. Because God is so interested in the people that are in our lives. And I want to direct you back to the scripture which our pastor gave us for the year in Esther. And I'm going to paraphrase. You're here for a purpose. How do you know that you're not here for such a time as this? You are here. And there is no coincidence. You are here for a purpose. And your purpose is to touch lives. Your purpose is to touch lives that others cannot touch. You have gifts. You have talents. You have experiences in your life that others of us don't have. An experience in this life goes a long way because there are so many people that are hurt. They're hurting. They're suffering. And each one of you, oh yes, each one of you has a gift to share. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Amen.
Our Father, our God, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we come to the close of this time together in worship and praise and uplift, that we might be encouraged, Lord. We as a body of saints stand now ready to be dispatched into this world, that we might carry those glad tidings of peace, the assurance of life eternal. I pray, dear God, that our hearts might be assured of that, that we may not be troubled by the ways of the world, but we might be strengthened by the trials that yet are before us. We thank you for the promises of life eternal through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice he made for each of us, that we might stand ready to bear testimony, to serve and to love, and to share the good message, that we might see your light shine out in a darkened world. We thank you for these promises, and I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters that you've gathered here this day. Might we go united in this promise, that we too have a calling in your work every day that we live. We thank you for that breath of life that you've entrusted to us. Help us to be good stewards, to use that which you've given us for your good. Above all these things, Lord, forgive us of our sin, that we might be made pure in your sacrifice and your love for us. And until we meet again, O Lord, in the highways and byways of life, help us to do that which is good. We pray in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.